hear from something about Memorial Day. I'll share my introduction first and do my prayer and then the scripture. Memorial Day, call to remember. They fought for freedom. In 1867, women from Columbus, Mississippi, decorated graves for the dead soldiers from both sides of the Mason-Dixon line. They inspired a poem called The Blue and the Gray. Like my mother's high school yearbook, they called it The Blue and the Gray because that was when one of the first battles came out of the mountains of West Virginia and Philippi. They felt it was a special day for what they gave. And so General Logan commanded the Grand Army of the Republic and had an order designing May 30th, 1868 for decorating graves in any size town. Then that observance became a national legal holiday a few years after that. Then early around 2011, there was a Memorial Day that went on at West Point where the people had neon lit sticks, red, white, and blue, and flags with a celebration of how the scars of the Iraqi war affected our nation when Saddam Hussein was taken away from this earth. What did we wear? And sometimes passed out little red paper flowers, small token of what people can appreciate at flag ceremonies all over the courthouse, like the ceremony down in Montevallo at the National Cemetery. But we as believers can go from a Memorial Day for those fallen to a spiritual Memorial Day of why Christ died for us. When we take the bread and we take the cup like we took every Sunday during Lent, like we take every first Sunday, to remember what Christ did for us as we practice open communion for people to come to the altar to celebrate what Christ is to them as their Savior, or to receive Christ as their Savior with someone praying with them about that freely in a free country. Will you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Clear the conscience of my heart. Take the sins away from my heart that I've committed this past week. And I say that in front of every single person here. So there's a clear channel between my heart and my life, like Dr. Demaray taught us to pray when he was teaching us how to preach when we didn't know nothing about how to preach, because he knew we needed that prayer. Thank you, Lord, for about what your scriptures will teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. I read the story from Deuteronomy 8, the first 18 verses. You can follow on the screen as I read. I'm going to use bits and pieces of this long passage this morning in this topical sermon. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness those 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of the brooks, streams, deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will face nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large, when your silver and gold increases, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes, scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. He's saying, don't forget what I did for you, actually. And as our sermon focuses on how God shows us what leadership is, how God disciplines, how faithfulness is alive. It's what he does. First, we're commanded to remember the leading of our Lord in the first two verses. It serves a purpose, the leadership of God. And in the King James Version, which is easier for some to memorize than others, it says in Deuteronomy 8:2, remember all the way which the Lord thy God lead thee. It shows Israel is full of memories. It taught them lessons about all kinds of decisions they had made. Do not forget, he says to them. They stood here before and places and doubted. It led to the 40 years of wandering and humility and testing. Did Moses really want to be who God asked him to be at the beginning? No. My mom said, you're going to be Moses someday. What are you doing moving? I said, we'll work it out. Yeah. In the first two verses, Moses was urging the people to obey God using loving ways of preserving care that God has. That's a motive. I said the Lord has allowed tests to come into their lives to humble them, prove them, and talk to them about obedience. God knew what was in the hearts of the people. He knows what's in every person's heart. All the time, all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful. He was not trying to learn something by testing Israel in the wilderness. As in verse 7, he was showing the people themselves their own behavior that they might not fully appreciate God's mercy. They're real stubborn people. America has gone through some tough times. God's leadership is to be appreciated in that way. Something happened early in the 1960s. A very unattractive atheist, she decided that we don't need to pray in school anymore. But her son got converted and became a Christian. And kind of disappointed her. Prayer was taken out of school. Many teachers may recall this event. And many people that are at a certain age remember living through this. We went from saying a prayer, saying the Pledge of Allegiance, to a silent prayer, to no prayer. To no allegiance, to no government classes being taught in the public school system now. Only in a small community that is not unnoticed now because of the great revival a while back in Wilmore, Kentucky, has this alive. In Wilmore Elementary School, they have the Christmas play in the public school there. They pass out Gideon Bibles in the public school there. They have prayer in school there. And it's still real. It's not announced very much, but nobody's bothered them. And they have a great big water tower with a cross on it. And they said, no, we will not make the city tear this cross off this water tower. It's very familiar. To anybody that drives into that little town, you see that when you drive far away in there. So it's a thought to think about how God's leadership is alive and still alive in many ways, in many places. There's individuals who know God's word is alive and how God has led them. How many people that's been in the service have been handed a small New Testament? A lot of them. I was able to look at a New Testament from a man, probably in 1999, and it had rubber bands all around it. I said, you've read that a lot. He said, I had that in my coat pocket in the Battle of the Bulge and World War II. And I thought, let me look at it. And he had it marked up all over the place. It's a great memory to be able to know a person like that. He drove a kind of car I liked too. He drove a Lincoln Continental. It was very old, like him, but it matched. I'll never forget him. The second thing in the sermon is people were commanded to remember the discipline of the Lord in the fifth and the sixth verse. What happened to God's people's memory? They forgot how much God fed them. In the wilderness, how much they were fed by God and not themselves. The clothes God provided them, the shoes on their feet, did not wear out throughout their 40 days in the wilderness. I bet you some of us would like to have our ankles not be swelled up. They said their ankles didn't swell up. I trade places with some of it. God needed to remind them what parenthood was all about and the fifth and the sixth verse today. As a parent disciplines a child, so the Lord of our God disciplines by applying what God commands them to keep out of love, full of respect, to the point that they fear God in a healthy way. Being obedient to what God commands is motivation enough to not forget Him, forget our God. The motivation to obey God happens in many places for Israel, and it began in several places. It can be expressed with a short word, our heart. By loving God more than any relationship, actively, and activity and achievement. Our will, by committing or recommitting to what God is about. We've had a good study on Wednesdays about God's will. Our body recognizes our strength, our talents given by God to be used according to fulfill the will that God has in our lives. Our stewardship, acknowledging that everything we have is borrowed from God to give back to God. Our future in the body of Christ, deciding to make service to God and others the main purpose of life's works. God gave His people a lot of time to apply these motives in their lives and share them. These things took years and years and years to happen. Many people missed out on the promised land because of not following through on what God called them to work at living like, with all those ours statements in front of what motivated their purpose in life. So it leads to something today, the third point. Just remember the faithfulness of the Lord is with us and was with them. And verses 7 through 18. Where does Moses want to show faithfulness has a beginning? Faithfulness can begin with what the 10th verse of the passage says. In the 10th verse it says, "You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that He has given us." What have we been given to be thankful for? For all the sacrifices that were made for us. We can think in our own homes. I think, why did my dad have one good pair of dress shoes? And when they got old, why did he wear them with big long black socks and a riding lawnmower and a nice hat? He says, "Boy, son, someday you'll find out why I'm wearing these wingtips." And I did. Yeah. But yes, it's true that the Israelites were to bless the Lord after eating their fill in the promised land. The verse that usually points to saying grace before and after meals that a lot of people memorize the scriptures for prayers over meals. There's something more to the verse. God's people were being warned not to forget when their needs and wants were satisfied. In this Bible I read today, the heading of chapter 8 gives the theme, "Do not forget the Lord." Faithfulness can continue with the 18th verse where it says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, so that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your ancestors, as He is doing today." In this 10th and 18th verse, it speaks of how hard work, never giving up, pays off and has made any person to think that they have arrived. Being faithful to the right work is important. If the author of this passage could have heard a phrase from modern times, that's, it's easy to be living the work verse phrase. Working to live. It's easy to be living to work versus working to live. Who is the question? Who do we work to live for? Who? God's mission is a gift for a lifetime. And it's a whole lot easier relying on faith to guide decisions. Because we don't know what's going to hold tomorrow. We don't know what God will do. God gives us everything we have. And he asks us to manage it. In the midst of the accomplishments, the most valuable thing in life is a relationship with our God is free. This passage that creates a memory about how the Israelites teach lessons that keep our faith in check so we can share more memories of what God is capable that no person can do on their own. So what do I leave us with this morning? What do I leave us with? A call to remember Memorial Days. Not to single one day out when we let God lead us and discipline us and commands us to remember his faithfulness, because God says, do not forget the Lord. Amen. Amen. And our altar is open for anyone at any time this morning for a prayer. Reaffirmation of faith in our Christ. And as we stand up, they're going to give us a good hymn to sing. And after that, we'll have the doxology.